Welcome back to the Coffee House Theater
Company podcast. I jumped in late.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Can we just tell them?
Tell them what?
Just how rough it's been just in the past 20 minutes.
So we
realized that one of our episodes is kind of got terrible sound to it.
Like episode 12, we recorded the same day we recorded this episode.
And it's got some static, and it's just very aggravating because
it didn't start till the end, and we had no idea to know it, and it's like we could just record the episode because it was an hour long.
It's hard for us to re-record, especially since we're on limited time. I literally leave, like, in an hour and a half to go back to college. Yeah, I think so.
It's okay. We sound so dejected right now. So, if there is static in this episode, I'm just gonna cry.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel really bad, because I know how annoying it sounds, because I just think it sounds really annoying, but...
I mean, on a different note, my mom listens to a lot of podcasts. And she says that especially now that COVID's going on, a lot of the podcasts she listens to have static, and it doesn't, like, affect her take on it at all. Okay. So I guess that's a good thing.
Okay.
Just has to vibe with it, I guess.
Yeah. So we're very sorry. I think it might be okay.
I think it's okay. We had to, like, mess with it a lot, and now our mic, it has to literally barely be in, like... There's, like...
It's very, very sensitive.
It's so incredibly sensitive. It's kind of... It's really annoying.
It's difficult, but... We're here, and at least we get to record this today, so then we're on track.
Yeah.
So, it's very hard to stay on track with the podcast. It's something that, I feel like it seems so easy, like, you think you want to get behind, but it's so easy to get behind.
I think it's easier to stay on track if, like, you can record more often, but you and I can't, because you're in college.
Yeah, so it's very tough.
It's okay, we're okay.
We're good. We're doing, actually, you know.
I feel like this episode in general is going to be just, not necessarily rough, but just maybe not our best episode, because I'm not a huge fan of my musical. I don't think you're a huge fan of your musical for the review today.
Yeah.
And we were having a bunch of sound issues, so maybe episode 14 was bound to fail.
It's like depression. Okay, now everyone listening to this is like, I'm sad now.
We're sorry. We made you sad.
My day. No, your day is going to go way better.
Yeah.
No worries.
Okay, musicals aren't that bad. It's just...
It's just not probably our type of thing. I don't even know what yours is about, but...
Trains.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did tell me that. So I was like, okay. But let's talk about something
positive.
On a happier note, which is our coffee.
It's so good.
It is really good. I need to mix it up more because I haven't really gotten into it much. This is from Big B. These are our ice drinks that we got.
I have a caramel apple cider. Yeah, caramel apple cider iced coffee.
I have a pumpkin spice iced latte.
And it literally tastes like apple cider with coffee. It's so good.
This literally tastes so good. And like I said before, I've never really drank pumpkin spice before in the past. But now, ever since I started this podcast, been going out of my comfort zone. And I am drinking this even though it is 5:26 at night and I do not need coffee. How do you still have so much ice in yours? What the heck?
I don't know.
That doesn't even taste like... Whoa.
I can taste a little bit of coffee, but it's definitely more apple cider.
That is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Okay. I just let her try some, so she knew what I was talking about.
Guys, wow. That was like apple juice, but like...
It's apple cider.
I know.
Have you ever had apple cider?
Yes.
Okay.
But it just reminded me just of apple juice.
But now I want to try this warm, because...
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Next time.
We have so much... Wow. I have a lot of coffee. I still have a half a cup of coffee to finish.
I drank my whole other coffee.
I'll drink a little both.
I need to stop. You know what? It's fine, because I have a lot of stuff I need to do tonight yet.
My stomach's going to hurt. Yeah, me too. So,
yay for us. So we're just going to chug some coffee.
All
right. Well, I say that we jump right into this, because we are kind of on a time limit today.
We are on a little bit of time limit.
So this episode might be a little bit shorter than normal.
Yeah. So,
it's okay.
It's your turn to start.
It's my turn to start first.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, like I said, this musical wasn't exactly my cup of tea. It got better in the second act, I think, reading about it, but it's called The Starlight Express. It's a 1984 British musical with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber and lyrics by Richard Stilgoe. So I had really high expectations for this, because it's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
And we love the man.
But this musical is, you'll see, it's interesting. So like, if you love this musical, like, go you. It's just not necessarily my cup of tea, but it's not bad. The story's not bad. Okay, anyway, let's just jump right in. So, before I start, this has been revived multiple times throughout the years, but the summary that I'm giving, like, it's been changed a little bit each time, but the summary of this is reflecting the show as it was very first produced in the West End in 1984. Okay. So, the show starts late at night, where a child plays with his toy trains. He calls himself Control, and he presides over a championship to decide which of his trains is the fastest in the world. He falls asleep, and in his dreams, the championship begins. So this whole musical is like his dream of this train championship. And all the trains talk. So it's kind of like...
So it's like Cars.
Kind of. Yeah.
Like the movie Cars.
And like Thomas the Train
Engine. It's like some... Yeah, there we go. Okay. If they had a baby, hypothetically.
Okay. Okay. So the reigning champion, a diesel engine named Greaseball, enters with the other diesel engines called Tank, Gook, Lube, and several other unnamed diesels.
Oh my God.
Boast of diesel's supremacy. Next, a steam engine called Rusty enters. Greaseball mocks Rusty, who replies that he will win the championship, despite steam being obsolete compared to diesel. Control, so the little boy's in this still, he intervenes and orders Rusty to collect a passenger train from the marshalling yard.
So wait, the little boy's name's Control?
That's what he's referred to as during this. I don't know if that's his real name, but he's referred to Control, as Control the whole musical.
Okay.
Where was that? Okay, so he returns with four coaches that make up the passenger train. A dining car called Dinah, a smoking car called Ashley, a buffet car called Buffy, very original, and an observation car called Pearl. Control sends Rusty away to fetch a freight train as the coaches introduce themselves to the audience. Greaseball returns. He boasts again, this time to the coaches. Rusty returns with the six trains that make up the freight train. Three boxcars called Rocky 1, Rocky 2, and Rocky 3. A brick truck called Flat Top, an aggregate hopper called Dustin, and a brake truck called CB. They introduce themselves to the audience and argue with the coaches over whether it is preferable to carry people or cargo. Control declares entries for the championship open. Six trains arrive to challenge Greaseball. Bobo, the French TGV, Espresso, the Italian Rome to Milan Express, Wellscraft, the German Class 103, Turnov, the Trans-Siberian Express from Russia, Hashimoto, the Japanese Shinkansen bullet train, and the city of Milton Keynes, the advanced passenger train from Great Britain.
I'm a little confused, but we're going to go with it.
Me too. It's fine. Okay, entries are about to close when a surprise entry, an electric engine called Electra, arrives.
Oh my.
Accompanied by his five components, an armaments truck called Krupp, a repair truck called Wrench, a money truck called Purse, a freezer truck called Volta, and an animal truck called Joel, Electra declares that electricity is the future of the railways.
How is anyone keeping track? Who's who?
I don't know.
Are there people dressed up as trains?
I don't
know. Mood. How? Why?
Has to be people dressed up as trains. I don't know how else they would do this show. It's the cast are just trains.
Maybe you like crouch behind a train set thing and you're just like, no.
Okay, anyway, Greaseball and Electra square up to each other as the entrants form a parade to celebrate the race. Control announces the rules of the championship. The trains will compete in pairs with an engine pulling a coach. There will be three elimination heats, and the winner of each heat will move on to the finals to decide the fastest train. The engines start to pick their coaches. Rusty offers to race with Pearl, but she rejects him, explaining that she is waiting for her dream train.
Oh, me too. Me too, girl.
Electra's messenger, Purse, enters with an invitation from Electra. Even though Electra is not her dream train either, she accepts, leaving Rusty all alone.
Dang, okay.
The first heat pits Greaseball and Dinah against Espresso and Buffy, and Hashimoto and CB. CB sabotages Hashimoto by applying his brakes at key moments in the race. Greaseball and Dinah win comfortably, claiming a place in the finals. After the race, Dinah objects to Greaseball's cheating. In response, he abandons her, and CB comforts Dinah. Meanwhile, a lonely Rusty has retreated to the freight yard, where the old steam train called Papa McCoy...
Me. I like him.
I like Papa McCoy, too.
I feel like I like him.
You'll really like Papa McCoy. Cool. He's a former champion. He sings a blues song to the trucks.
Yeah, you know what? I really do like him.
Papa tries to persuade Rusty to race without Pearl, urging him to have faith in the Starlight Express. When Rusty refuses, Papa introduces him to an old Pullman car called the Memphis Belle. Rusty agrees to race with Belle. They compete in the second heat against Electra and Pearl, and Wellscraft and Joel. Electra and Pearl finish first, securing a place in the finals. Rusty and Belle finish in last place. Already despondent after losing Pearl as his race partner, Rusty loses his last shreds of confidence. Papa decides to step up and prove that steam power is relevant despite everyone's misgivings by racing himself in the third heat. Only Dustin is willing to race with him. Rusty points out that the race is already full, but suddenly Control announces that the British train has been scrapped, leaving space for a late entry. Papa interprets this as a sign from the Starlight Express and enters the race. The third heat pits Papa and Dustin against Bobo and Ashley and Turvald and Rich.
Wait, someone's name is just Ashley?
Yeah.
Show me the correlation. Okay, anyways.
Ashley. Bobo and Ashley.
Okay.
Ashley the train would definitely be a pumpkin spice latte girl.
Yeah. Dude, we already know. Listeners, they already know. They ahead. They got it.
And Turnov and Wrench. Papa wins the race, securing a place in the finals against Greaseball and Electra. But the effort of outracing the others and pulling the hefty Dustin exhausts him. Now worn out, he begs Rusty to take his place. Rusty refuses at first, but then he notices Pearl with Electra and is jealous. When CB offers to race with him, Rusty announces that he will take Papa's place. Greaseball and the other competitors mock him and then leave. Alone, Rusty prays to the supposedly mythical Starlight Express to help in the final. And that is the end of Act 1.
Okay.
Act 2.
Oh my god. Wait a minute. I was trying to cut, sorry.
Trains.
You really were right when you just said trains.
I'm serious. Like, this whole musical is talking trains.
This doesn't seem very musical-like to me. I don't know.
I mean, they had the musical.
I need maybe to listen to it, but
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I would hope the music's good because it's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but I wonder who sat down one day and went, listen, new musical. Talking trains.
I think what happened is they watched Cars at theater and they were like, oh my god.
This you was written in 1983, so Cars.
Oh crap, yeah, it was.
Dang it. Maybe Cars.
Cars, oh my god.
Got inspiration from Starlight Express.
It's true. Uh-huh. And Pixar won it. Pixar's wow. You know, Pixar, we love Pixar.
Okay, anyway, back to the story. Okay,
me. We love Pixar, you. Let's talk about trains, okay, Erin? We're talking about trains.
We're talking about Rusty the steam engine,
okay? Okay.
Act 2. The trains debate whether Rusty should be allowed to take Papa's place in the final since he already competed and lost, or whether the place should go instead to Bobo, who finished second in Papa's heat. They ultimately decide to let Rusty race. Control offers the engines the chance to change partners. Pearl abandons Electra and joins Greaseball, leaving Dinah feeling betrayed.
Oh.
Dinah expresses her shame at being uncoupled, although she cannot bring herself to say the word uncoupled.
Oh, go, okay.
Huh. Ashley.
My God, I can't.
Ashley, Buffy, and Belle try to persuade Dinah to fight for Greaseball's affections, but instead she accepts an offer from Electra to replace Pearl in the finals. Elsewhere, CB hatches a plan. He tells Greaseball he will help him win the championship by sabotaging Rusty. He then tells Electra he will wipe out Greaseball, clearing the way for Electra to win. When Electra expresses his surprise at CB's duplicacy, CB explains that he has spent a career secretly causing trains to crash for fun.
Oh, wait, who was this? CB?
This is CB.
Okay.
Yeah. The finals take place between Electra and Dinah, Greaseball and Pearl, and Rusty and CB. CB sabotages Rusty, slowing him down so he misses a switch on the track and cannot finish the race. Electra and Greaseball finish in a dead heat. Control announces that there will be another race, with Electra and Greaseball going head-to-head to decide the winner. Rusty complains that he was cheated, but the marshals refuse to listen. Pearl confronts Greaseball, but he warns her to say nothing, as the marshals would consider her an accomplice and punish her as well. Rusty retreats to the freight yard, where he bumps into the Rockies. They tell him that without luck, he will never win and he should just give up.
Yeah.
The Rockies leave Rusty alone. He appeals again to the mythical Starlight Express for help, and this time it hears. The Starlight Express appears in front of Rusty, reminding him that whatever strength he needs, the Starlight is within him already.
Oh, okay.
The Starlight Express disappears, and Rusty finds himself back in the freight yard with Dustin, who says he was just asleep, but felt the Starlight's presence. Rusty asks Dustin to race with him in the final. He accepts, and they head off together. Moments before the race, Dinah, angry with the way Electra treats her, disconnects from him. Electra quickly appeals to CB to take her place. The trains gather to watch what they will expect to be a head-to-head final between Greaseball and Pearl and Electra and CB. Suddenly, Rusty arrives with Dustin, and the marshals allow him to enter the race. The race is fast and furious. This time, the downhill tracks turns Dustin's weight into an advantage for Rusty. Greaseball struggles with an unwilling Pearl holding him back, and Electro uses all his power to disrupt his opponents. Electro zaps electricity at Greaseball but misses and injures Pearl. Greaseball, showing no concern, simply disconnects Pearl at full speed. Rusty diverts from the race course just in time to save her, but at the cost of falling into a distant third place. To avoid being disqualified for not having a coach, Greaseball starts to grapple with Electra over CB. The fight degenerates into chaos, and Greaseball, Electra, and CB crash, allowing Rusty to win the race. But instead of celebrating, he leaves immediately to find Pearl. Control warns him if he does not return quickly, his lap of honor will be canceled. Meanwhile, humiliated and furious, Electra leaves the racetrack, swearing never to return.
Okay, bye.
Greaseball and CB emerge in a tangled wreck. They lament the heavy toll that racing has taken on them. Papa demands that Greaseball and CB help find Rusty. Away from the other engines, Pearl fears that she caused Rusty to lose the race. She realizes that all of the trains she's raced with, only Rusty has ever acted selfishly towards.
Rusty would never.
Rusty would never act selfish. Oh my gosh.
He's selfless.
Selfish
is bad.
Selflessly. There we go. Rusty arrives. He tells Pearl that he won the race and confesses his love for her. The other trains arrive. Greaseball finally apologizes to Dinah for his behavior, and they reconcile. Greaseball complains that he's finished as a racer, but Papa offers to rebuild him as a steam engine. Control tries to assert some control, announcing that Rusty's lap of honor is canceled. Tired of Control's behavior, Papa and the other engines tell Control to shut it, and they celebrate the second coming of steam power. And that's the end of the show.
I feel really mean. But am I allowed to be mean? No.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was terrible.
That was not good.
I'm sorry. Andrew Lloyd Webber,
I love you. Things. But not for this
but
show.
What is this? I mean, maybe I do need to listen to
Okay, so here's the thing. I didn't like this show, but I really want to go see it to figure out how they do trains.
Yeah, I want to see like 5 minutes of it, and then I'm gonna be bop on out, you know, but I do know what you're saying, though. I would like to see how this is possible. How are they always just racing, like, on a state?
They're all trains. I really hope it's just people dressed up as trains, because that would be absolutely hilarious.
Still, like, how can you race, though? Like, it's not that big of a stage.
they just zoom across the stage. Like,
there's just... something's just not adding up, I guess. I don't know. I do kind of really love Rusty and Papa. What's Papa's last name? Maybe they just call him Papa.
Papa McCoy, I think.
I kind of really like him, and I love that he sings a blues song to them. You know, he just kind of bursts out of
that. Yeah, Papa McCoy, a former champion, sings a blues song to the trucks.
That is something that gives me life.
I love Papa.
We do.
So here's the thing. I told Aaron when I was writing this, I said, Aaron, I'm not assigning them coffee because they're all trains.
Yeah. And I don't even know. I was confused. I'm sorry. That's why Rachel read through it very fast, I'm assuming.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I couldn't vibe with this one.
I couldn't vibe.
I did try. I really did.
I'm letting myself, like, try so hard, but, like, it's just not working.
I really did. So, okay. So, like, it wasn't as, like, the story itself isn't bad. It's just the fact of the matter that they're trains.
Yeah, and talking about it really isn't that interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like a giant race.
We're very sorry, but that's the point of this podcast, is we're trying out things that are out of our comfort zone.
This is actually very good, because I feel like we've liked almost all of the musicals that we've reviewed, so now there's one that neither of us like.
Yeah, and that's life, you know? This is a lesson that needs to be learned. Well, I mean, a big part of this podcast was us getting out of our comfort zone. Not just coffee, but even learning about musicals we maybe don't want to talk about. So, here we go. And the musical I'm going to be doing today.
Wait, before you announce this musical, I'd just like to point out that there's a character named Ashley.
I don't.
They all have like Rusty and Bobo
Greaseball.
And CB and Greaseball. Rocky 1, 2, and 3.
Rocky 1, 2, and 3. Like, really? You went from Rocky 1, 2, and 3 to Ashley? Nothing against the name Ashley. But
Ashley.
I don't. Okay, whoever wrote this had to be like, ha ha, I'm gonna name this one Ashley.
Guys, we've got Greaseball, we've got Buffy, the buffet car.
It's
just, we have
No, that's
Purse.
A very good point. You had a very good point.
We have Electra. We need one more name. Ashley.
They're just like, that's it. That is it.
The one.
My mind sometimes. That's what they were like. My mind.
I'm just a genius.
I guess that's what happened. I don't know.
Or maybe when they were writing this, Pearls is like the main female train. Maybe they were like, maybe somebody was like, I want this main female train to be Ashley. And they're like, nah, we can add Ashley in there, but not the main female.
That would be so funny. Why was that one person just like, I really want the main train to be Ashley? Everyone.
How about we do like Pearl and maybe
How
we can
we
make,
do like Pearl?
We can make Ashley like a sidecar of some sort.
And then everyone's like, that's it.
But I also want to know the thought process of naming the buffet car Buffy.
Well, at least there's some, you know.
But like none of these names have anything to do with like Rocky and Papa and Pearl and Ashley. And then the buffet car, Buffy.
There's a lot of unanswered questions. That's all I know. That's something we can all agree on, I think.
Also, this little boy.
Yeah, huh? He's got some control issues, man.
Well, his own trains told him to shut up.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's like in the real world. Do you think he has any friends, or is this the reason he was in a room alone playing with his trains?
I don't know. Honestly, when you told me you were doing Starlight Express, I thought this was, like, related to that Christmas movie. What is that called again? Express?
Oh. Polar Express?
Yeah, I thought it was related to that. Okay, I know that sounds really stupid, but, like, I'm not, like, a big, I was never really a big fan of that movie. We'd always
like,
watch it
I don't
younger,
like Polar Express either.
But it, like, weirded me out for some reason,
I
so
get
I forgot what it was
for
called.
That. They're like, you don't like Polar Express?
I know my parents, when they hear this, are going to be like, you didn't like it? Because they would watch it a lot. I was like,
okay,
weird.
I read this thing, though. Okay. And it was said, if you don't like Polar Express, there's probably a reason behind it. And I can't remember what it was, but there was some sort of, when they were trying to do, when they were trying to get, like, people to look more lifelike in movies, there was, like, a small window where, like, it was, they kind of had it, but not exactly, and Polar Express was, like, in that time frame of windows, and it's, like, some people just mentally, like, it freaks them out, like, subconsciously, the way they move and the way they look and talk, that it's so close to being, like, lifelike, but yet so far away, that it's, like, a thing, like, subconsciously that some people just can't deal with it. And then they started, like, showing different things, and it's like, does this picture of this person make you uncomfortable? And I was like, I don't like that. And then they're like, okay, and they explained all this, and it's like, this was the time frame.
That's so crazy, because I think, I was just about to say, I think it might be the animation that makes me feel uncomfortable.
That's what that has to be what it is for me, and that's, like, a genuine thing. But some people it affects, and some people it doesn't.
Well, it also, the first time I watched it, I was pretty young. So, like, maybe that freaked me out a little bit more, especially since I was young.
I mean, but a lot of younger kids love that movie.
Like, you know, younger kids now?
I just say, like, younger kids in general. Like, every year, I feel like in elementary, when we had movie night, like, we watched Polar Express and drank hot chocolate. You know what I mean?
We never got to watch Polar Express. We always had to watch Elf. But anyways.
But I just learned that, and I thought that was really interesting. Because now I don't, now I have,
I
like,
don't watch videos about that.
Because they're like, now you have a genuine excuse for not liking Polar Express.
Yeah.
And people make fun of you for it.
Yeah, something I just never talked about because it was embarrassing.
Yeah, me too, because you get attacked.
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, they kind of look weird.
So if anybody here also doesn't like Polar Express,
it's okay.
And we accept you.
You have a reason.
We accept all.
Okay. Okay, do you want to get on to the next one?
Yes.
Should I go? Okay, so this is the one I think I talked about maybe in a different episode. I don't really know when. But it was something about, I think it's a Star Kid musical. Yes, and it was, like, the Batman one. It's called Holy Musical Batman, and the A is literally, like, the at sign, like, I don't know. I was not very excited to do this one, because I don't like the random chaos, but, you know, maybe it'll make things, you know, kind of funny, so we're gonna just start, okay. We're just gonna hope for the best.
Just try to vibe here.
We're vibing. Okay. I hate how I just said we're vibing. Okay. The show opens with young billionaire Bruce Wayne witnessing his parents get mugged and shot by a nameless villain. As he grows up, Bruce vows to seek out and destroy evil so that what happened to him will never happen again, deciding to dress up as a giant bat, you know, the move, and fight crime as the masked vigilante Batman. Batman is universally loved by the citizens of Gotham City. I actually not.
Gotham? You don't know Batman at all? I don't really know it either, but I know some basics.
So many people are like, I hate you.
Robin, Batman.
Yeah, Gotham. I don't really know. But Gotham. Gotham?
I think it's Gotham.
Gotham City. I just want to make sure. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
We're going to have some high-key Batman fans listening to this going, you can't pronounce the show. I
can't pronounce
you.
Anything, so I don't know if I would, you know, take it, you know. For being a dark and angsty anti-hero. This is despite the fact that Batman irrationally hates them all, holding the people of Gotham responsible for letting his parents die, and considering them all potential criminals. After a final battle with his nemesis, the Joker, in which the villain falls to his death, Batman partakes in a ceremony to receive the key to the city from Commissioner Gordon, but clashes with Superman, of course, a smug and all-powerful superhero from Metropolis. Oh my god, that was so embarrassing.
Metropolis.
I'm really not into, like, I never was. I don't know anything. So Metropolis. Okay. Who constantly upstages Batman, but is secretly jealous of his popularity. After leaving the ceremony in a huff and arriving home, Batman comes to the realization that he doesn't have any real friends. Me. Why am I Batman right now in my life? Okay. That was really, like, what? So that's why I love these summaries sometimes. It's like you're reading and you're like, oh, wait, what?
It's specifically Starkhead ones. Like, they are just so
You think you gotta figure it out, and then they...
Like, and they'll be like, blah, 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 and then he dies.
Yeah, it's
there's
crazy.
No dramatic lead up to it. It's just like, and he dies. Like, he has no friends. Everyone hated him.
Yeah. Okay, so he realizes he doesn't have any real friends and fires his loyal butler, Alfred, after he discovers that he was pretending to be Lucius Fox. Alfred immediately returns disguised as O'Malley, the Irish butler. Okay. He's like, you probably put on a mustache. He's like,
hi, I'm O'Malley.
My name is definitely not Alfred.
I'm an Irish butler.
That was not even, like, I didn't even try to do an Irish accent, so way to go, Aaron. Both he and Batman lament. Oh, the song is Dark, Sad, Lonely Night. Okay. This is more depressing than I assumed it would be. Oh my god, next one. Superman, also feeling lonely due to his lack of popularity, calls Batman and leaves an apologetic voicemail inviting him to an upcoming battle with Solomon Grundy that he's trying to organize with other heroes. This is interesting. Okay, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought. I kind of making me laugh. I don't know. Okay. The Council of Rogues, a group of Gotham's most famous supervillains, the Penguin, oh, he sounds very threatening, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, Scarecrow, Mr. Freeze, and the Riddler, meet to discuss how Batman is foiling all of their crimes. After a brief interruption from Two-Face, who is promptly refused membership on the council by the other annoyed villains, Sweet Tooth, the newest villain in town, arrives and swiftly seizes control of the Rogues. He then hatches a plan to ruse every villain in Gotham, no matter how lame or derivative, and kill Batman by overwhelming him with sheer numbers. Batman is crying in his room. Oh my god, what? Batman is crying in his room when Alfred introduces him to a visitor.
With Alfred? But so, it's, no, it's the...
But it says Alfred, so I think they mean O'Malley. O'Malley disguises...
Alfred disguises O'Malley.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay. We think that's what happened. It doesn't say. The orphaned acrobat Dick Grayson. Okay. Batman and Dick realize they have a lot in common and quickly strike up a friendship. Bruce reveals his secret identity as Batman. Whoa, that's very quick. Like, huh?
They talk for 2 seconds and Bruce is like, I am Batman.
And I'm depressed and lonely.
And I was crying in my room right before you came.
He's like, that's why my eyes are red. It's not the allergies. Okay.
It's not the allergies. I just need a friend.
God, this is so sad. To which Dick reveals that he wishes to become his sidekick. Robin.
Aww.
Best friends. Together they set out and take on the hordes. Okay. Of late new villains plaguing Gotham, both happier than they ever have been.
Aww. Best friends.
Best friends. So that's act one, guys.
Okay, hold up. Would you be Batman or Robin in this instance?
I don't know. What do other people think?
I don't know.
What do you think?
You guys let us know. Do you think... What do you think we would be? Which one of us would be Batman and which one would be Robin?
I don't...
I mean, I feel like we both have our depressed moments where we're crying.
Would I just randomly show up to your door, or would you just randomly show up to my door? You do randomly come into my basement.
I do. Sometime. I just show up in her basement. And I'll text like, her, "Hi, I'm in your basement."
I'm like, "I'm doing."
Homework. Okay, so I guess that leaves you as Batman and me as Robin.
Okay,
yeah. That means you were lonely. That means, yeah, but you were lonely crying in your room because you had no friends.
Okay, but I'm Bruce Wayne. No.
And I'm Dick.
Exactly.
At least I'm not crying in my room because I have no friends. Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, you know what? It evens out. The citizens of Gotham react badly to Robin. Oop. Feeling that his wisecracking and lighthearted antics detract from Batman's image as a lone, dark anti-hero. Robin sucks. That's the song that they sing to the moon. You know what? I'm liking this a lot better than I thought. This is hope, guys. This is good. Okay. Meanwhile, Superman grows even more jealous of Batman and his new friendship after no one showed up to his solemn Grundy battle. He didn't even go.
Poor Superman.
Yeah.
I actually feel very bad right now.
Yeah, too. O'Malley tells Batman he agrees with Gotham's opinion of Robin, and Batman fires him. He returns yet again, oh my god, as Huang Li, the Chinese butler. He's like, I am taking the mustache off again.
I'm putting on a wig.
Yeah, probably. I don't even know. Like, what? How are you doing this? Gosh dang.
Batman's kind of stupid. No offense.
No offense, yeah. While rescuing Rachel Dawes, Robin is captured by Sweet Tooth and his new accomplice and lover, Candy, who also take 3,000 people hostage in Gotham Square. Sweet Tooth then sets up a Facebook poll. Okay.
Oh my god, what?
Okay, letting the people of Gotham decide whether he kills Robin or poisons the water supply with a lethally sour warhead in 7 hours. You learn something new every day.
Let me just set up a Facebook poll. Should I kill Robin or poison the water with a warhead?
A lethally sour warhead, we should point out. I'm just going to go on because I don't really know how to recover from this. Seeing Batman torn between saving Gotham or Robin, Alfred returns. Oh my god. He's like, you know what? I am no longer the Chinese or the Irish butler. I am Alfred. And comforts him. Batman, believing that Gotham will choose to sacrifice Robin to save themselves, decides to rescue Robin and let Gotham City suffer the consequences. Oop. Oh my gosh. In response to this, President Barack Obama enlists Superman to defeat Batman before he can rescue Robin and doom the citizens of Gotham. The American Way, that's the name of the song. I love, they just had to throw Barack Obama in there.
They're like, yeah, let's just get Barack Obama.
You know what? You know what I'm thinking about this? You know what you know how I think we can spice this up? President Barack Obama. And everyone's like, yeah, put him in. I guess that's what happened. That's the American way, I guess. Okay. Batman breaks through a Sweet Tooth barricade around Gotham Square and confronts the supervillain, who flees with Robin. Batman's pursuit is interrupted by Superman, and the two heroes fight each other. Superman dominates the fight until Batman brings out a chunk of kryptonite, weakening Superman and leaving him lying powerless in the street. Batman corners Sweet Tooth, but the villain's attempts to throw Robin into a... How do I say this? Vault? Or a vat? A boiling hot chocolate. Batman saves Robin and lets Sweet Tooth fall into the vat. I don't know what a vat is, but okay. Instead... But not before Sweet Tooth activates the warhead launch and successfully poisons the water supply. Robin is appalled that Batman would leave Gotham City to die. And after checking the Facebook poll, it was revealed that the people of Gotham chose to sacrifice themselves instead of killing Robin.
Aww.
You know, this would just hit different if it wasn't a Facebook poll, but, you know, whatever.
After checking the Facebook
poll. I know, I'm like, huh? Okay. Realizing that he can believe in the people of Gotham City after all, Batman puts aside his pride and calls on Superman to save the city, mending the rift between them. Superman travels back in time by flying around the world until he reverses the rotation of the Earth, me, which allows him to intercept the warhead before it can be deployed and throw it into the sun. Okay. With their new friendship established, Superman and Batman from the Super Friends form the Super Friends with various other superheroes, including Spider-Man, who is really Alfred, another disguise. What the? Okay, why is his name Alfred, though?
I love Alfred. I think he's my favorite character. Alfred?
Yeah, me too.
Alfred the Butler, who then was Irish and then Chinese and is now Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. But yes, he's Spider-Man. And I guess that's the end, because it's dumb. But it's
you know what? You made this sound horrible, and that was not
I bad. Was assuming, because it's something like Batman, and I'm just not the biggest Star Kid fan, because I'm just not a chaotic person. I don't know. I don't thrive. Okay, I'm a chaotic person, but okay. You guys see my point. Anyways,
it's okay. I like it a lot better than Starlight Express.
Haha, you got a bad one, hit loser. 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 Hey, you know what? At least I feel a lot better now than I did at the beginning of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I was not in a good
mood. We started off in a bad mood, and now we're in a good mood.
This is hope. This is growth. This is...
I think it put us in a good mood, because mine was just so stupid that it made us laugh, and yours was just actually funny.
It was funny. And I really just... I think Alfred is, like... He's my new icon in life.
That was incredible. Alfred the...
And my idol.
Alfred.
Yeah. Alfred.
who's now Spider-Man.
I'm confused by the name choice, but, you know, I'm okay with it.
Alfred, but that's like an actual, Alfred the Butler is like an actual thing in Batman. Like, it's a real thing. Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, that's why he's named Alfred. I was like, why else would you name him Alfred?
That's literally what Batman's butler is named.
Huh. See, I wouldn't know that. Because
I don't know Batman either, but I knew that.
There's some parts of my life that I'm just very uncultured, I guess. I'm sorry. I don't get the superhero thing, you know?
I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen half of a Marvel movie.
And I've seen Chris Pratt as, Guardians.
Oh,
Guardians.
You know what? I've watched Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah,
and I like him because he's funny. And I just like Chris Pratt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Parks and Rec and whatnot.
He's funny in Parks and Rec.
So that's probably why I like him in that. But, interesting. Well, we've learned a lot today. And oh my gosh, it's 6:00. Look at us. I'm so proud.
We did amazing.
I'm doing a lot better. We're doing great. I do really miss my dog, though, already, even though he's upstairs. But I have to go home. Well, not go home, but I'm going back to BG in a little bit. So this weekend went really fast. Did you think it went fast? Maybe you maybe didn't notice because you're always here.
I thought it did go fast.
This week went really fast, that's for sure.
Yes, it did.
Days are getting shorter. But I think that's about it. How's your coffee? I'm not going to do the coffee for the characters. I'm sorry. I feel like we're really slacking, but like...
On that, I guess it's okay.
They're just very odd. Like, who am I to give Batman, like, a coffee as a personality? You know? He's too established.
Yes.
Also, I'm lazy.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
No, we literally haven't met. Sorry, I just really... It's just not happening today. We almost didn't record this weekend because we thought I got exposed to COVID-19.
But she's fine.
But turns out the timeline would make it impossible for it to be contagious, so...
We would have been very sad if we couldn't record.
We would have had to take off a week, guys. And I know you would be understanding of that, but...
But now we don't have to, and we can just vibe.
Then I would have just came home literally for no reason. Other than to see my dog, which is always a good reason, but still.
It's always a good reason.
So, we are doing great.
So, this is just going to be a really short episode, but I know, like,
sorry. We hit but our time limit exactly. Next episode is amazing. I'm so excited.
You guys are going to adore next episode, hopefully.
Yes.
Me and Aaron
We have a great interview.
You know, I guess we can make that announcement for next week. It's going to be like, it's an interview episode.
Yes. And it's great. So,
his name is Tory Doctor.
Yes.
And he has done some incredible stuff. Like,
yeah.
The and fact we that got to interview him. The it's fact like, that we scored him for an interview.
We don't really know why he's so kind to, you know, join us, but we are grateful. And you guys are going to love it. A lot of interesting stuff. Like, you want to know the tea? Not like it's like he's spilling the deepest, darkest secrets, but like, if you want to learn some stuff about this business, musical theater, like, you got to be here. And just see a really great perspective, you know, for someone who's actually been in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So, It's great, and you guys are gonna love it, and we're excited.
Ah!
So, I guess until next time, when you see our, listen to our wonderful little episode.
Yes.
It'll be great.
All right, thank you all for listening.
Thank you, guys. And thanks for bearing with us, honestly.
Yes, today was a mess at first, and now we're thriving, so.
So, it's all good. I think that's it. So, we'll see you guys next time with our great little interview.
Alrighty.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.